Hello everyone, and thank you for joining the Golden Goose 9M25 Earnings Results Call. My name is Gabby, and I will be coordinating your call today. During the presentation, you can register a question by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two on your telephone keypad. I will now hand over to your host, Silvio Campara, CEO of Golden Goose. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Golden Goose Earnings Presentation of 9 months 2025 results. The group generated revenues of euro 517 million, with an increase of 13% versus the 9 months of 2024, with an acceleration in the third quarter in the direct-to-consumer channel. Profitability was once again excellent. We achieved an adjusted EBITDA of euro 174 million with a margin of 34%. We had another strong quarter of growth across all our regions, demonstrating the resilience of our business model and the global resonance of our brand. We expanded our store network with unique openings from Tokyo to Dubai. We successfully launched two amazing new sneaker models, and we opened the incredible Golden Goose Arena in Milan, a place where sport, culture, and craft meet, and where players can become dreamers and enjoy the community. This reflects our brand unique positioning between luxury, sport, and lifestyle. Looking ahead, Golden Goose is, can be told to be super well positioned to continue to capitalize on casualization, personalization, as we bring our iconic products to our growing Golden community all over the globe. As always, my deepest thanks go to our amazing Golden Goose family for making all this possible. Now, I leave the stage to Paolo, who will walk you through all the details of this incredible set of 9 months results. Thank you all.
Thank you, Silvio, for introduction. Hello, everybody. It's Paolo D'Alfredo speaking. If we go on page four, you can see that we have an overview of our 9 months results, which once again confirm the resilience of Golden Goose in a challenging market environment. We have achieved 13% revenue growth at constant exchange rates, which mirrors the 13% growth we saw in the first half of the year. The DTC, direct-to-consumer channel, which is the core of our expansion strategy, stands out with a 21% increase. During the third quarter of 2025, the growth of the channel accelerated versus the first half of 2025. The DTC channel now accounts for 79% of our total business, versus 74% in the first 9 months of 2024. Our EBITDA margin remains very solid at 34%. As we anticipated during the conference call of the first half 25, we are pleased to highlight that the EBITDA margin improved during the third quarter of 2025. By year end, we expect the EBITDA margin to drop to less than 1 percentage point versus 2024, reflecting only the impact of the increase in U.S. tariffs and the headwind of exchange rate movements. Our leverage is at a multiple of 2.7 times. The increase versus the first half of 2025 is entirely related to the announced distribution of euro 70 million dividend in Q3. We maintain a solid cash position of 92 million, plus an additional 65 million in our revolving credit facility. We remind that for purely prudent reasons, we drew down 35 million from our RCF. I now turn to page 5, where you can see that our 9-month revenue growth of 13% at constant exchange rates was very consistent during the year. However, the third quarter experienced some specific dynamics that we are going to analyze in the next pages. On page 6, we have the breakdown of sales by geography. All the three geographic areas experienced double-digit growth in the first 9 months of 2025, This is something we had already observed in the first half. Let's start with the Americas, where in the first 9 months of 2025, they generated $190 million in revenue, representing 37% of our total business volume, with an overall growth of 10%. This is the result of 8% growth in H1 and an acceleration to 14% in Q3. The direct-to-consumer channel grew by 18%, with 15% in H1 and Q3 that accelerated to 23%. The growth is a result of the combined effect of a positive double-digit like-for-like growth and the space effect from new store openings over the last 12 months. The exceptional growth of our DTC channel has allowed us to continue our strict policy of containing sell-in to the wholesale channel in the Americas. While we remain one of the top brands in terms of sell-out, the multi-brand channel is suffering from a severe crisis in terms of traffic, and we absolutely do not want to inflate our clients' inventories with our products and or to take credit risks. Moving on to EMEA, which in the nine months of 2025 posted $261 million in revenue, representing 50% of our total business volume, with an overall growth of 15%, driven by 18% in H1 and 9% in Q3. The direct-to-consumer channel continued to deliver a growth above 20% in both 9 months and Q3. The growth is the result of a positive mid-teens like-for-like and the space effect from new store openings over the last 1 month. The deceleration we have experienced in EMEA in the third quarter of 2025 was mainly due to the wholesale channel. This was a simple time shift of deliveries from Q3 to Q4. As a consequence, the negative impact will be recovered in the last part of the year. We confirm that the general health of the multi-brand market in EMEA remains good. Let's conclude with the performance of APAC, where in the first 9 months of 2025, it reached $66 million in revenue, representing 30% of our total business volume, with an overall growth of 15%, which accelerated in Q3. The direct-to-consumer channel grew by 18% in the first 9 months of 2025, with 14% in H1 and an exceptional 29% in Q3. The growth is driven by low single-digit like-for-like for the 9 months, but with a Q3 that was a high single-digit positive, along with the space effect from new store openings over the last 1 month. The growth in the DTC channel more than compensates for the cuts we are making in the wholesale channel in APAC, which is mainly made up of online operators, making it very difficult for us to control the distribution. It's also worth noting that the wholesale channel in APAC is only worth €3 million over a 9 month period. I turn to page 7 to comment our top line growth by channel. Let's start with the DTC channel that came in at $408 million for the 9 months, with a 21% growth at constant exchange rates. This growth, which experienced an acceleration in the third quarter, is a result of a mix of factors, including double-digit like-for-like growth and the space effect in our retail channel, coupled with a strong performance in digital. Turning now to our wholesale channel, we saw a 10% decline in the first 9 months of the year. Wholesale revenues were down 20% year-on-year in Q3 versus a decline of 5% in H1. We continue to prioritize a DTC-led growth and to upgrade the quality of the distribution network with third parties. Nothing new on this topic in Q3. By contrast, the quarter experienced an important deceleration linked to a simple time shift of deliveries from Q3 to Q4. Q4 in which we expect a strong double-digit growth in the wholesale channel, with a forecast from here to the end of the year on a year-to-date basis to be in a range between -3% and -5% versus the previous year. I now turn to page 8, in which you can see the profitability. We achieved a strong EBITDA margin at 34% in the first 9 months of 2025. We remind that during the first half of 2025, we diluted our EBITDA margin due to the strategic decision of pushing investments in our in-store customer experience with the goal of acquiring a larger customer base. We commented that the dilution was only temporary. This is confirmed by the results achieved in Q3. EBITDA as a percentage of sales expanded in the quarter in line with our expectation. The margin in H1 was also diluted by an accounting effect linked to our own factories and a different allocation of our marketing spending in 2025 versus 2024. The two factors had a positive impact during Q3. For the fiscal year 25, we expect EBITDA margin to return slightly below 2024 figures, only reflecting the dilution impact of the new US tariffs and the headwind linked with fluctuation of exchange rates. The trend in EBIT mirrors what has been discussed and furthermore is linked to the increase in depreciation and amortization of right-of-use assets. The profit and loss impact of depreciation is front-loaded compared to the sales benefit. The depreciation of right-of-use assets begins when we sign the lease, while the positive impact in terms of sales is expected to materialize in 3-6 months following the store openings and its typical ramp-up phase. I now hand over to Giuseppe for the review of our balance sheet and cash flow statement.
Thanks, Paolo, and good evening to everybody. We move to page 9. Our trade working capital stands at 91 million compared to 54 million in the first 9 months of 2024 and 51 million at the end of 2024. Receivables increased by 18 million versus September 24. This reflects our decision to extend the more favorable payment terms to our wholesale partners, supporting them during these challenging times. It's important to note that more than two-thirds of our receivables are covered by insurance, mitigating any kind of credit risk. Inventory increased by 24 million versus the first 9 months of 2024, representing 22% of revenue. This growth is simply linked to our top-line growth and the shift of our business to the D2C channel. It is necessary to support our expanding retail footprint and ensure we have sufficient stock to meet the growing demand of our products. Remember, the majority of our inventory consists of carryover styles or items that can be easily remerchandised, minimizing the risk of any obsolescence. Payables increased by 5 million versus the first 9 months of 2024, only partially offsetting the increase in receivables and inventory. Our total capital expenditure for the 9 months of 2025 reached 41 million, representing 8% of revenues, with an increase of 8 million versus the first 9 months of 2024. The major part of the increase was driven by retail, 6 million, related to new store openings and store refurbishments. Investments in our headquarters, factories, and digital infrastructure also increased to support the future growth of our business. I move to page 10. We added 12 new stores to our network in the first 9 months of 2025, 7 in EMEA, 5 in Americas, while the store count was stable in APAC, where new openings, out of which we want to highlight Manila and Tokyo, offset the closure of smaller stores. We can anticipate that during Q4, we opened an important store in London Mayfair in Mount Street. We move to the cash flow development on page 11. Our adjusted operating cash flow was 70 million in 9 months 2025 lower than the 93 million in the same period of 2024. We have already commented about the increasing CapEx to support the development of our distribution network and our official business goals. We now want to give you more details on the evolution of the net working capital. Trade working capital absorbed 55 million in 9 months 2025. The absorption linked to inventory was normal, let me say, and linked to the growth of our business and the shift to direct to consumer. By contrast, two temporary negative effects impacted the trend of receivables and payables in the first 9 months of the year. We have granted to our wholesale clients more favorable payment terms, which we just discussed, and we expect to normalize these as soon as their traffic trends return to positive. Second, we had a peculiar trend of payables linked to the inbound of products from our suppliers, which we pay after an average of 180 days. The inbound was very high in Q4 24 and Q1 25, with a related high cash out during the first 9 months of 2025. Cash conversion in the last 12 months as of September 2025 was 55% versus 67% in the full year 2024. We expect to normalize our cash conversion to 60-70% in the next 2 quarters, mainly thanks to the normalization of the inbound effect mentioned. We should close 2025 with a cash conversion rate close to 60% and improve it further in the first quarter of 2025. On page 12, we comment on the net financial position, which stands at 639 million post IFRS 16 compared to 537 million in full year 2024, with a net leverage of 2.7 times. The increase in the net leverage from the 2.4 times at the end of 2024 is linked to the announced distribution of euro 70 million dividend in Q3. Our cash position decreased in the first month of 2025 as a result of several factors. This included the previously discussed dividend distribution, the new investments, the new projects launched this year, along with the dynamics explained of our working capital. But in addition, our cash was impacted by the extraordinary cost related to the bond issuance and 5 million placed as a temporary pledge to secure the bank guarantees required for our store deposit payments to lenders. Thank you all. And now we turn the line to the operator for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your device is unmuted locally. We will pause for just a moment. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our first question is from Slava Sturkus from UBS. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you very much for the call. Congrats on a solid set of results. Could you give us some color about current trading in Q4, the promotional environment, how you're seeing kind of your performance across your various geographies, and what your expectations are going into 2026. I appreciate there's been a lot of talk in the market about potentially a softening consumer environment, so we wanted to get your thoughts on that, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. It's Paolo D'Affero speaking. Let me say, current trading Q4 is aligned with the performance of the previous three quarters, then nothing new. We continue to grow at the same path. While for the next year, of course, the environment is not easy, but as we met when we provided the guidance of to grow between 9 and 10% on a yearly basis, this is what we see for the next year as not easily achievable, but something that we can put in our expectation. Of course, the ambition that we have is higher, but just to stay prudent, you can consider between 10 and 12% as a growth for next year.
That's great. Thank you very much. That's all I have for now.
Thank you, Slava. Our next question is from Mikkel Luzma from Bain Capital. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the presentation. Could you maybe discuss price and volume trends and what's total like-for-like revenue growth in the quarter?
Okay. It's Paolo speaking. I take the question. The like for, we normally do not provide specific number in terms of like for like, but as I can anticipate that is strong double digit growth in terms of DTC performance. With DTC like for like, I mean putting together retail and direct digital channel. In terms of volumes, we can consider that we normally increase our price by 2% on a yearly basis, on average, of course, just to offset the inflation. Then this growth of like-for-like is mainly driven by volumes. You can cut these 2 percentage points, that is a nominal increase, and the rest is related to volumes.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mikkel. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. As a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We currently have no further questions. This concludes today's Golden Goose 9-month 25 earnings results call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.